This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby. Is Bucky Brooks the next one to leave NFL Network? Not because he's gotten a new job, but because he doesn't seem to know very much based on his most recent article.
Man, I have news first.
Hit me.
Adam Schefter, NFL owners have now passed a rule that both teams will be allowed to possess the ball in overtime in the regular season. The original proposal was for a 15-minute overtime. It will be 10. 10-minute overtime, both teams will be allowed to possess the ball.
So if somebody runs down the clock to 0 seconds on their first, does that just an untimed possession for the next team? That seems odd.
Wow, that's a good question.
A 10-minute drive?
Yeah, like, I mean, at that point, or if you run down just to 40 seconds, it's like, well, this is your drive. You still get it, and you get 40 seconds to run your plays.
Yeah,
you get 40 seconds. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't 15 care for minutes. That. I don't, if you're going to have it where both teams get the ball, that second team basically needs to have a full untimed.
They had to keep up the appearance of caring about the health and safety. Yeah. So that's the compromise. It's fair for both to get it. We won't make it 15 minutes. We'll make it 10. So that's my theory on why they made it 10 instead of 15. We can't have them, you know, playing longer and longer and longer, especially after now you get a shorter period to adjust to a primetime game.
Yeah, so now there's a they changed the Thursday night flex scheduling. Yep. Used to be a 28-day window where they had to give you notification. Now it's 21 days where they notify you that you're playing a Thursday night game or it's flexed, which the NFL has one of the biggest laughing stocks is that they care about the fans in the stadium. They don't. The fans in the stadium are garnish of the game. They care about the fans watching at home.
What does Jerry always tell us? Only 2%?
Yeah.
2%? Something like that ever go into the stadium as NFL fans.
TV deals, that's where the salary cap really gets its drive. That's where a lot of the revenue comes from. So, I mean, it makes sense. I will say the whole player safety thing, like, oh, we got to look like that's a priority for us. Chris Collinsworth, this was in Mike Freeman's book years ago, who I believe you guys have interacted with before.
I haven't been able to in about since 2012.
It's been a while. Yeah, that was around the time John Heyman blocked me. So, but in his book, he recounted this conversation that Robert Kraft had with Chris Collinsworth. And Robert Kraft was just talking to him about, like, hey, how do you think we've been doing with the safety stuff? I know that was concerning to you, but, you know, we've done some good things, right? And Kraft was blown away because Collinsworth, like, dressed him down and told him, he's like, I'm not going to believe a damn bit of what you say about safety or anything else until you take away the Thursday games. As long as you are putting the Thursday games still out there, you don't care about whether they're healthy or not.
Wow.
And he said, and with that idea, this will be something where people go, you dropping by another week the amount of time that teams have to prepare to stagger their practice schedules and get guys to a point where they feel like, all right, the physicality that they've run into, we feel like we've staggered this enough to where they're not going to be as worn down and beaten up, Brock Purdy tired. That's going to be, we've got a full month to prepare for that and change our schedules accordingly. 3 weeks now, you're just tightening again the time that they can adjust and potentially change their practice schedules and change the amount of contact that they're running into. Okay, over at NFL.com, one Bucky Brooks has an article out, which I think in general is an interesting thought process and an interesting exercise to go through. Yep.
A couple of those, huh?
And it's this idea every year, we run into these players who, when I mentioned Will Campbell, I don't know that his arms are long enough to play tackle. People asked that about Rashawn Slater years ago. Rashawn Slater's fine playing tackle. We've heard about 40 times. Oh, I don't know that he's fast. Kyle Hamilton, are you running a 4.6? Are you fast enough to play safe? Kyle Hamilton's fine. Stop overthinking him. And then there are others like Tease Tabor coming out of Florida who ran a 4.63 as like a 200-pound corner, and that guy was awful. And you go, okay, well, you should have paid attention to that. But it's always good to look at and say, who do you not need to overthink? Don't worry about the peripheral stuff. Who just trust what you see because they're good players and all the other stuff is just noise.
Was it Linderbaum?
Tyler Linderbaum was one of those. Is he too light? He's not 300 pounds.
His ass ain't big enough.
How is he ever going to survive? Let's forget for a second that he was like a state high school wrestling champion and pinned Tristan Wirfs at state. Let's forget about that and just say, nah, he can't handle. So some of the names that Bucky came up with as players you shouldn't overthink are close to the players I think should most be like, let's slow down and think about this guy. Here's some of the players that he has on this list. Shedeur Sanders. Take everything you want away from it. If you guys were in the evaluation process, like forget what other people have said, just what you've seen from Shedeur Sanders and how he's interacted, some of the stories that come out of Colorado, would you go with Shedeur Sanders and go, put away all that stuff people say about how he is and how he's maybe handled things? I'm gonna watch this film and we'll be fine with Shedeur Sanders.
Absolutely not.
You've got to think.
I'm really worried about Shedeur Sanders.
Especially at the top where you've got quarterback options and you need to find those separators.
The Shedeur thing is like, you know, you could make the argument like he didn't really beat anybody in college. Who was the great team? Who was the great team that he even played well against?
I mean, he had some good games against like USC, BYU. He played okay against them when they were decent teams. So I mean, he played. I don't think he beat USC in that game, but he played really well. So I mean, he
didn't play defense.
No, they don't. But I mean, Patrick Mahomes came from a conference that didn't play defense either. Big 12 didn't play it.
No, they didn't. I mean, Big 12 has had some good quarterbacks. There's no doubt about that. It's just, you know, like, but you know, the Big 12 kind of has stunk also.
And look, I mean, when you look at Shador's tape, I have Shedeur as the top quarterback in the draft. I have him number one above Cam.
Oh, so you agree with Will Chambers?
No, because I have him in the second round.
Also, no first round quarterback. No, Cam Ward's not a first round quarterback.
Mm-mm. No, Cam Ward's second round for me, and he's behind Shedeur. When you watch Shador's tape, though, there's flaws there that he still has to clean up. Like, it's not just this overwhelming tape that you go, phew, blow away everything else you hear and see, because that guy is just incredible. I like him. If I needed a quarterback, I'd probably position myself to take Shedeur, but it's far from any sort of a slam dunk. One of the other guys on this list, Cam Scataboo, running back from Arizona State. What? Like, if you've, again, take everything else out of it, the dude clearly is massive ego. You got that angle right there. I mean, you guys had to vet me heavily. Imagine if you didn't think about me before I dropped on the show. You just plop me down here. And that ego, and you hadn't vetted whether you could stand it.
I ignored what many said.
That'd be a problem.
And warned about.
Yeah, I hear you, Jared Sandler. But when you look at Scataboo, the size, the in general, like when you talk about the projectability of guys who have transferred from smaller schools into this side, played the running back position, taken the beating that he has. That's again not somebody that you just say, all right, he's fine. Take.
He's about the size that he's short, like that.
Yeah, he's a bowling ball.
Scataboo is going to be an afterthought in 2 years. He won't be a good NFL player.
I'd maybe draft him in the sixth round. Sure. He's not going to be a good NFL player. I don't think that's a hot take, but it's a polarizing topic.
Who's he going to? Like, give me a team he goes to.
I don't care. Who's famous for drafting charity cases? never mind.
Well, like, who's a fullback? Who's a fullback team? San Francisco.
He's going to be like a lot of other running back. If he goes to a team with a good offensive line, he'll be fine. If he goes to a team that doesn't have a good offensive line,
he's not going to be fast enough. He's not going to be conditioned enough. These are my predictions.
And that's the thing. You can't just walk away from that. What?
The conditioning, fast enough. I agree with the conditioning. Like, the guy just doesn't stop.
Drinking?
Yeah. You fall for this. You fall for this Rudy tryhard stuff.
No.
He objectively was. I don't believe some of the things. I have other thoughts about some of the things he said, and some of the things I've heard about lifestyle.
Oh,
I'm factoring that in.
That aside. Like,
well, I mean, I can't really put that aside. That's what I'm factoring. Well,
he says he doesn't drink.
That's what I'm factoring into my negative NFL projection of him.
Yeah, I want somebody who just, you know, goes balls to the wall in all aspects of life.
That's fine. He's going to go balls to the wall at 2 yards a carry.
Yeah, he will. but yeah, like, the guy had almost like as impressive of a season as any running back outside of Ashton.
Yeah. Okay.
And you want to include Ashton because he played against tougher competition.
All right, but I also wouldn't then go like, well, I'm going to trust the tape then on Eric Crouch, and I'm going to pick him in the first round because there are no other questions because he was awesome. Crouch. He was awesome. Come up in college last year.
Think of a comp for Scataboo that you're comfortable with to drop on us a little later. Come up with a comp for the career that he'll have.
Size wise, he's Maurice Jones-Drew, right?
Yeah,
Maurice Jones-Drew now.
He's not as fast as Cam's not fat.
Just you come up with a career. He'll have this type of. You don't have to do it right now. We don't have time, but come up with one. It'll be a fun debate.
Mike Allstott.
Shocking.
Another name on here, Malachi Starks from Georgia. And this is actually a good name. I struggle with Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia, because I watch him and I think that's a smart player. That is a really steady, stable player with good instincts who plays disciplined football. The problem with Malachi Starks is the fact that he is a safety who comes in under 200 pounds. He's 6 feet tall, under 200 pounds. He ran a 4.5 40 at his pro day. His vertical was 33 inches, which is about the same as some defensive tackles. His three-cone drill was 7.2, which is about Taco Charlton. And his 20-yard shuttle was 4.45. These are all numbers that safety's 20 pounds heavier than him. There's a real question about all of his athletic testing. But again, he's somebody who when you watch him and you see him on tape, it's a good player. And you really have to wonder, all right, which side am I going to trust? And then the last one here that I don't know why he even throws him in here. Luther Burden. The receiver from Missouri, who has gotten a lot of comps to Deebo Samuel, has been mocked to Dallas several times. Here's the issue. Luther Burden's 2024 tape wasn't even the same player as 2023. So when we're talking about what reservations there are, it's not even a total bunch of athletic testing or other things. The tape isn't even the same. So which one are you telling us not to overthink? Don't overthink last year's. Say that's the player, not the one you saw 2 years ago. Or don't overthink his most recent tape and say 2023 is the player. I just, again, as I've said over and over again, I'd be terrified to take Luther Burden because yards after catch guys, when that's their MO, that terrifies me coming out of college.
Normally, I'm the one burning guest bridges, but add Bobby Belt to the list. I don't think DallasCowboys.com will be handing over Bucky Brooks anytime soon. That's fine. You got to be honest. B-Lo, the belt on the home of America's team here on DFW Sports Station. We are also your home of the Texas Rangers. They got whooped yesterday. Kumar Rocker getting destroyed. But RJ Choppy is bringing up another question. Did the Rangers start baseball's ageism trend? And how many Rangers want to get the torpedo bat now? Final hour with some Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers next.